Ma'am, and I can't see you well with the lights. Is it pink or...
So the question I've been asking men lately is, as they're entering the third stage and they've gone from one and two, do they feel like they're losing any of their masculinity because they've deepened their feminine understanding? Is that clear?
Yeah, that's a good place to start, and I'll describe to everyone what you're asking, but then you'll have to ask more once I kind of fill it out for everyone, okay? So we get to what you're really asking. She talked about a few things. I just want to make sure, since so many people haven't heard me speak, and I don't know how many of you have read my books, and so I just want us all to understand everything. I talk about three stages of growth. I mean, we could talk about a million, and the jargon I use is just useful tools for us to communicate with each other. I believe very little of it myself. I mean, I don't walk around holding these ideas and living this as some kind of philosophy, really. These are just words and concepts that I find are sometimes useful to serve people with, and so they've evolved. But you don't have to hold, I hope you don't hold on to them very tightly. Hold them very loosely. Just and the three stages that I talk about, the most first, second, and third stages she referred to, that's why I want to make sure everyone understands, is in the first stage. You may be in a first stage moment right now. A first stage moment is when basically your universe exists of you personally, your body, your mind, your emotions. So you could be really hungry and all you're thinking about is how you have to eat. So that's a first stage moment I happen to have frequently. Other first stage moments could involve you've had a bad relationship moment with your lover and now you're in a mood or you're angry or something, and really all you're feeling is your anger. I mean, there are people dying all over the world, there are people being born, you don't give a damn, someone hurt you, that's it. So that's a first stage moment. First stage moment is when all you're attending to is yourself. Now all of us do that in moments. First stage moment. I mean, you stub your toe probably, even if you were a highly evolved individual for a moment, your attention would just go on to yourself. And so we all have first stage moments. But some people live in the first stage most of the time. And so when I talk about someone being in the first stage or having a first stage relationship, I'd mean two people who spent most of their time in the first stage. And a first stage relationship then would typically be between someone going like, look, you do what I want or you leave. You know, I don't want to hear any of your crap or something. And the other person might be saying, sure, I'll do anything you want as long as you don't leave, because all I want is you and you're everything for me. Without you, I'm nothing. So please don't leave. And so in a first stage relationship, everyone just wants something for themselves, and they just do about anything to keep it. So we'll just touch upon these lightly. If we need to come back to them later, we can. Now, we grow beyond that. I'm sure most of us have grown beyond that in most of our lives to the second stage. And in the second stage, which, forgive me for saying this perhaps, but probably Marin County is the second... the second stage capital of the universe. But, we probably all had experiences, other realms and other lokas, so we could expand it. This might be the second stage capital of every dimension, but so in the second stage, and again, we all have moments of the second stage all the time, and then you could also kind of fixate there. In a second stage moment, we've expanded beyond just being self-conscious, just thinking about ourselves, just wanting something for ourselves. We've expanded into encompassing at least someone else. So in a second stage relationship, it's like, well, I'm okay. Are you okay? You know, we're willing to find out how the other person feels. And the other person's like, well, I'm not okay. I'm angry at you. Do you hear me? You know? And the other second stage person then, you know, if they're true second stages, they say, I hear you. I understand you. You are hurting. But you must understand, I'm not angry like you are. Do you hear me? So in the second stage, it becomes a kind of religion of equality. Or a religion, or by religion, I mean like you become devoted to everyone sharing everything and everything being harmonious based on mutual respect, which is, of course, is an evolution beyond someone just going, do what I say or I'll punch you out. Okay, whatever you say. You know, it's an evolution beyond codependence and abusive relationships. So in the technical jargon I've used in my books, instead of being the first stage of macho jerks and submissive housewives, you move into the second stage of, you know, successful, hardened women and new age wimpy men who wouldn't know their deepest purpose in life. It hit them in the head unless they were on drugs, and then they'd forget it. So The second stage then is about sharing and equality and just, I mean, ultimately it's caring for the world, not just two people. Ultimately it's saying, you know, everyone should have food, everyone should have clothing, everyone should have education. So it's an evolution beyond selfishness. It's a beautiful thing. The trouble is, if you continue growing, and I'm assuming many of you have, or you wouldn't be here tonight, you wouldn't even be interested, but if you continue growing, something strange begins to happen. All of this that you see, that you call the world, that you would like to help, or sometimes you're very selfish within, all of it begins to feel as one. There's not so much a difference between what you would call me or what we would call you or everyone else on the planet. All those words start to have quotes around them because you begin to feel an infinity of openness that all of this is happening. It's kind of like love is living through all of us and as everything. And in a third stage moment, or in a third stage relationship, or if you've stabilized more or less in the third stage, which is very rare in our culture and the world, in the third stage, in this moment, you're still aware of what you could call a separate self, so you could feed yourself and make sure your zipper's up and you don't trip over things and so forth. So you're still aware of the first stage self. And you can communicate fully, so you could say, I'm angry. How are you? I'm angry too. Good, we're both angry. You could do that. You don't lose those capacities. But even though the first and second stages are still there for you, if you choose to put your attention there, where your attention tends to abide is as love. And as love, and I'll try to describe what I mean by that, because people use that word in many ways, of course. As love, all of this is love. Somebody who's angry and closed down, your wife, your husband, a stranger, is love in the form of anger and closed downness. And that's just obvious in the third stage moment. And I'm sure many of you, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. I just want to see some of, okay, great, thank you. So many people, whether they were on drugs or whether you were meditating or just through maturity and growth and hard knocks and, or just spontaneous opening, you begin to recognize that all of this, there's different words for it, and you know, that words begin to fail about the third stage because we haven't developed words for it. But we can just say all of this is the divine, or all of this is love, alive as love, or all of this is a spontaneously appearing mystery of light and consciousness. There's different words we could use to describe all of this when we feel it without feeling separate. And that's a third stage moment. And you could base a relationship then on being in the third stage. So two people in a third stage relationship would first feel each other as one love. First, that would be their primary experience in a third stage moment, if they were both in a third stage moment. Now, they may also be angry with each other for something, and one may be hungry or have just stubbed their toe, but their primary feeling recognition with each other is that they are love. Everything is love. And so in that sense, nothing needs to change. Everything is perfect as it is, and they can relax with everything exactly as it is. But also, why not change things for the better? It's still love. You don't get more love than love. I mean, you don't get more God than God. God doesn't become more God because someone becomes less angry. It's just God in the form of anger or God in the form of happiness. And yet, I think most of us would have to say that we would prefer to be healthy than sick, and we would prefer peace to war. But that doesn't make this place somehow different than it is. It's love in the form of war and hate a lot of the times. And I think all of us would prefer that it were love in the form of love instead of fighting. And so we might act in ways to open our bodies, our breath, our politics, our art, our sexuality, the way we raise children, the way we do business. We may work in ways to open all of those activities that we do as humans so they conduct the third stage recognition more fully. How would you do business from a place of not being selfish and also not feeling self and other, but feeling all of this as God or as love? I mean, you still wouldn't be an idiot, I hope. You know, you would still make the right contracts and right agreements that would help everyone, but you would be doing it from a place of already full relaxation, full openness, complete, okay, this is love. This is as love gets right now. I'm not waiting for anything. There's no waiting in the third stage. What are you waiting for? I mean, this is as love gets. Right now, this is as divine gets. If you're waiting for anything, you're in a first or second stage moment. In a first stage moment, you think you got to get something before you're willing to admit everything is okay, God, love the way it is. In a second stage moment, you think something has to be worked out amongst us before all of this is really divine. So that's why I was talking about, you know, Marin County, but say no more. In the third stage, you're already totally present as God, as love, as all of this is, and you are simultaneously fully active, if you choose to be, in the art, whatever arts you choose, the arts of child rearing, the art of business, the art of exercising your body, the art of teaching others, the art of washing your car, the art of painting, so whatever you do in your life then becomes essentially an artistic expression of the love that you are. And that changes the feel of everything you do, including the way you express your anger, your stubbed toe, your hunger. There's always a kind of humor as part of it because everything's already love, even though you might hurt bad. So in a relationship, if someone is, let's say you're in a third stage moment and all this is coming back to answer your question, I just have to fill everybody in. You happen to be in a third stage moment and you're feeling everyone and everything is love and you're open, there's no sense of separation, and your partner closes down, you actually feel your partner's closure and that hurts. So as you open into the third stage, it doesn't mean you hurt less. Actually, you hurt more in the third stage. And it's not because something's necessarily wrong with you. It's because you feel now everybody's pain. You feel you're open as one with them. And so you feel how much it hurts to be them. And so to be open to that degree of hurt is a courageous or risky business. And so in the third stage relationship, when you open to feeling the hurt, the anger of the other completely. And then if you could sustain your own openness, they may resonate open with you. And there are some arts, and you know, I've written about them and all my workshops are about them. So there are specific ways to breathe, to touch, to use your eyes, to use words, to make love. There's specific ways to do things that will help enable a third stage openness to reemerge from closed down moments. And those closed down moments could be between you and your children, you and your business colleagues, you and a tree just walking around. You know, there's an art to that, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight. And what I'd like to do is answer your specific questions about that art, because what I can offer you are, in the workshop, we'll be going through a bunch of practices, and the workshop's almost all full, so most of you won't be able to attend unless you're already registered. And I'm also doing a 9-day intensive in Austin, for those of you who are interested, and that's got like room for one or two people, so you probably won't get in. So the reason I'm saying all this is that I want to offer you as much as I can tonight. And the best way to do that would be for you to say, I've had those moments of oneness, but... And let's deal with your butt, you know? That's where the art lies, which, you know, however, my man feels that he loses his masculinity, and then we could, from that place of openness, talk and actually come up with practices you can do in those moments when that occurs to artfully re-evoke that openness. Now, before we open it again to more questions and to continue with yours, I just mentioned masculinity as you brought up, and I want to describe the way I use that word. So the way I use the word love isn't falling in love in the romantic, you're the only one style. The way I use the word love is openness without separation, the third stage. So you're either opening to be one with people or you're closing, and that's love, opening to be one with. Now,
what does that mean, to be one with? What does that mean? You know, you're pretty much thinking the same thoughts, you're both in the same stage of bliss, you look at each other's eyes for a certain amount of few seconds without any self-consciousness. You know, the fear is evaporated. Is that pretty much what you...
First of all, it's objective. So what we could do is have the whole room and vote whether you're open in love now or not. We won't do that. But it's objective in that sense.
Okay.
Objective. It's objective in the sense that we would get not only a majority vote, but probably a unanimous vote on how open any... I mean, we could do this later. Let's give it a few minutes. But we could, like, bring you and, like, five guys up here and just have everyone vote on who they feel is most open as love. And what you will find is that you don't get an even distribution. You don't get, like, a random distribution. Virtually everyone will pick one man. And then I could walk up to another man and whisper something in his ear, a little practice to do, and suddenly he'll open in a certain way, and the vote will switch, and he'll get the vote. So the question is then, your question is, what is that?
Yeah, what did you whisper in there?
Funny part of that question is it would be different for every person. Because you are love, the only way I can address that is to address what you're doing that's not love. And when you recognize that and relax that, you just allow the natural love that you are to be spontaneously expressed.
That's what you mean by objective.
That other people could feel it is what I mean by objective. And so, one way to describe it, there's infinite ways obviously, none of them are accurate, and there is... Do people feel your deepest heart? Now, what I'm going to try to do, if you'll permit me, is tie your question with yours and then try to answer them both in a single. So, the divine love, whatever we want to call this entirety, manifests or opens primarily as two fundamental qualities, and from there there's many others. And those two fundamental qualities are... And I'll just say it in shorthand. If I ask you, who are you? Who are you really? You'd say whatever. And then I'd say, no, behind that. I mean, and eventually you'd come back to the witness consciousness or the part of you that is aware of everything, pure awareness. So if I said, well, you know, I'd say, who are you? Yeah, I'm a doctor. Well, yeah, that's what you do as a living, but what are you really? And you'd say, well, I'm a guy. And I'd say, yeah, you are a guy, but I mean, who are you? And eventually, I'd say, who are you that doesn't change when you're sleeping? You know, because obviously when you wake up in the morning, you don't go, oh, who the hell is this? I mean, you wake up in the morning and you... There's a continuity of self. So that continuity of self, the unchanging sense of self, is what I call the masculine in all of us. Wait, let's keep going, okay? Then you can ask your questions. So the masculine in all of us is the unchanging quality of consciousness, of the I am-ness. And it goes through sleep, obviously, or we'd wake up and have no history. So we have a sense of self through sleep. Some people feel it goes through deaths, actually. And this is, but certainly all of us can remember, like when we were 10 years old, perhaps, a moment, or when we were 12 or something, and we have the sense that we're this... Things have changed, but there's still someone who has changed. That one is your masculine. It never changes. Your body has changed completely since you've been 3, 4, 5, 6. Your brain has changed. Your mind has changed. Your emotions have changed. Everything has changed about you except that. The one thing that never changes is your masculine, your consciousness, your whatever you want to call it. So that's what I call the masculine. Everything else is the feminine. Everything except the depth of your unchanging consciousness, we could call she with a capital S. We could call that consciousness he with a capital H. So the capital S she is everything that changes. Your body, your mind, your emotions, the world, the earth. That's why we say Mother Earth instead of Father Earth. Nature, all of nature. Everything that changes is the feminine. Now, in any moment, any person could be more identified with their masculine or their feminine, because everybody is both masculine and feminine. So moment by moment, we could move more into our masculine or more into our feminine, more identified with the sense of self that never changes, or more identified with the light of everythingness that is bringing forth the miracle of existence. And all of us have a tendency to identify somewhere along that spectrum of masculine or feminine. Even though we could go anywhere on the spectrum at any moment, we have a tendency over time, like you'll spend most of your time in a certain place. We also develop shells over that, resistance, childhood, kinks, wrinkles. There's multiple dimensions of that. It would take me a month to go through it all. But for now, everyone has some aspect to that. Masculine or feminine, that they most identify with. Now, the way the masculine comes through us, come back to your question and yours also, is in a clear sense of purpose, an unchanging sense of beingness, and it's felt as absolute presence. So when someone is in their full masculine, they are totally there. They're there, you know? You know, you feel them, and they're not moving. They're totally present. Now, that's what the feminine calls sexy. So... So every time when you're asking your question, you're being less than they're there. All the feminine people in here are losing trust in you. And we'll come back to that in a second so we can get to your question. But I'm kind of bowling here. See if I can hit two pins with one ball. So when you are full in your masculine, you're fully present. Woman could be fully present. A man could be fully present. A dog could be fully present. When you're identified with your feminine, you feel alive as the flow of life. So if we were to turn on some great music right now, I mean really good music, people who happen to be more identified with the feminine in that moment couldn't help but move. It was really good music. I don't know, like some Brazilian percussion or something. You know, like just immediately everyone who's more identified with their feminine would feel the flow. And even though they might, some would just get out of their seats and start dancing, but everyone, you know, the more they were into their feminine, the more they felt, yeah, life. You know, they'd feel that radiance of life and move and love from that place of motion, okay? Everyone in their masculine would go, could you please turn that down? I'm trying to follow this point. You know? Now, when a masculine person talks to somebody who's more in their feminine, that's how the discussion goes. The feminine person's going, always feeling the flow of connection between the two of them. The masculine person's like going, where is this conversation going? What's the point? So, the masculine, then, is always trying to resolve things and bring it to an end. So in a relationship, anything that's happening feels like something that needs to be brought to an end to the masculine person in the relationship, which means that even emotional exchange, it's kind of like, all right already with this emotional stuff, let's do something. Now, the something the masculine always wants to do is reduce everything to as little as possible. Because the masculine is identified with consciousness, pure consciousness. And consciousness has no qualities at all. It's totally empty. It is emptiness itself. It's that which in which all this occurs. And so the more we're identified with that emptiness, the more we feel compelled to reduce somethingness to as little as possible. Now, if you have the capacity to just immediately reside open as the witness without being anything but being itself, great. Then that's who you are and what you're doing. But few people have that capacity, and so when they're in their masculine, they fudge it, and they try to just reduce all the something that's happening to at least one thing. Sitting in front of the TV, sitting in front of the computer, watching sports, working on a project. I'm doing this now, can't you see? I'm doing this now. And so... the masculine, in its inadvertent attempts, because the masculine finds bliss in the emptiness of consciousness, if you're not that skilled at surrendering open as consciousness, you take kind of a second best, which is like, let's take all the stuff that's happening, everything, and reduce it to a game where I have to carry this ball over this line. Or, you know, let me take the infinity of existence and, you know, I've got to get to this website. What do I need here? I need new software. I got to download, you know. So you could probably begin to feel then whether you're more identified with the masculine or more identified with the feminine. And everyone goes back and forth and how much time of the day you spend in which. Now, the feminine, of course, is that everything that's happening, is that flow, is that motion. And so... the feminine isn't trying to bring things to an end, isn't trying to resolve discussions, isn't trying to bring emotion. The emotional outbursts aren't a problem to the feminine, they're life. The feminine is movement, is motion. So the whole notion that when someone's having an emotional movement through them that there's something to talk about is a masculine anomaly. I mean, the masculine's going like, okay, there's a problem here. What's going on? Why are you so upset? Which is just being an asshole, basically. I mean... The feminine is like weather. The feminine is life force itself. If someone who is truly in their feminine were to try to describe to you why they felt, they'd have to take into account the way their girlfriend touched them on the shoulder 2 hours ago, and then they turned away from the girlfriend and saw the certain flower that made them feel a certain way, that reminded them of their daughter, that made them feel a certain way, and then they came into the house and saw you, and you were going like, you know, and they felt a certain way from that. And then you go like, why are you feeling this now? And they'd have to feel into this unfathomably complex web work of events. So it's only the masculine grid little dude, you know, that could even conceive that there's a reason someone's feeling something. And so in the third stage masculine partner doesn't try that often, except for their amusement, perhaps, for mutual amusement, to, you know, address emotional issues, just simply love. Emotions are part of love. Anger is part of love. Someone could be rageful, violent. You know, when you're with someone who's in their feminine, they could be going, I hate you, I hate you. And what they mean is, I love you. I love you so much, it hurts me the way you are, and so I'm feeling angry. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying, I hate you, I hate you. So basically, from the masculine point of view, the feminine's totally lying. From the feminine point of view, she is hating you, but she's hating you because she loves you. But from the masculine, you're going like, wait a second, you hate me? Do you love me? What's going on here? But to the feminine, you'd even ask that question, it's ridiculous. So, come back to you. Now, you're saying something about a man now moving into the third stage and somehow feeling a loss of the masculine, but I think what you might be talking about is the second stage, because in the third stage, what the masculine does is feel into their deepest consciousness, realize their life purpose, which is what they must do moment by moment so they could die complete. And they live from that place of offering what they must do moment by moment to die complete. So there's always a sense, there's never a moment of regret in a third stage man's life. And now everyone has first and second stage moments, so I'm talking about a very full version of it. But in a third stage man's life, or someone who's more stable in that life, or a woman who is full in her third stage masculine, there'd be never a moment where they felt like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just doing it, you know, making some money, enjoying sun, you know, sort of beautiful day today, huh? You know, you see Survivor on TV? So they're living on purpose is how you feel that someone is in their third stage masculine. The way you feel someone's in their third stage feminine is that their body, their physical body, is completely open to show love, light, and every emotion without obstruction. So that when a moment of anger comes through them, their whole body shows anger. When a moment of sex comes through them, their whole body opens in sex. When the moment of, you know, their body becomes transparent to the flow of energy. In the second stage, feminine people clamp down on their body, hold their breath, cut down on their sexuality, just not show their emotions. Second stage men hold back on their purpose, are polite. Hey, if that's what you want to do, it's fine with me. I mean, you get to choose too. It's not just, you know, it's going to be... So I'll come back to any questions you have in a moment. But first, did you have any more questions, or have we addressed what you asked?
I have a zillion questions, but on this point,
yes.
As men move into the third stage, it's almost as if they have to reclaim their masculinity.
Yes, because in the second stage, excuse me for a moment, in the second stage, what most men have done to grow from macho jerks, I'm the only one in the universe, listen to me, you know, it's my way or the highway, shut up, bitch kind of life. What they must do, what a man in the first stage must do to grow into the second stage, is to cultivate his internal feminine, which means his capacity to feel, his capacity to flow with energy, to feel what other people are feeling. And the way most first stage men grow into the second stage is through feminizing themselves, becoming self-feminine, just like first-stage women who are dependent on men, don't leave me or I'll be nothing. First-stage women cultivate their internal masculine, which is their sense of purpose, their sense of direction, where they're going in their life, their business, that quality of not feeling all the emotions that are going on, but getting down to their schedule, finishing what they need to do at 4 o'clock, getting on to the next appointment. That's the masculine. So first-stage women cultivate their inner masculine, first stage to grow. First stage men cultivate their inner feminine. And the way many first stage men do that is smoking marijuana is a huge way. It just feminizes you instantly. Instantly you feel your body, everyone's body. Suddenly, wow, music, man. I hear music, you know, have a body. So second stage men tend to get into massage, music, nature, anything that has to do with the flow of energy. And so that's a very feminizing influence. So what you get into the second stage then is women who are like, where are the trustable men? You know, now that I've taken care of myself, I'm looking for a man, but all the men around here don't have this clue what they're doing in life, you know? And all the men who always thought they knew they were right in the first stage didn't need a clue because, you know, they were always right. Now they're, hey, it's all just happening. You know, you want to do that, fine, you know. You want to go out to eat? Not want to go out to eat? It's all okay with me, you know. Hey, wait, I'm just going to play some music for a while. So he begins to just flow. You know, he goes out in nature, plays drums, smokes some dope, plays music, does body work, climbs mountains, inhales nature. So he's played with the big lady all day, you know, and then he comes home to you, and you're in your masculine, you know. And that's why second stage relationships end up to become sexually neutralized, because in general, men cultivate their feminine and become balanced, and women cultivate their masculine and become balanced, and that's only a transition to the third stage, which is what this is all about tonight. And it's only a transition because balanced isn't love. It's just a psychological state of balance. So it's very good for everyone to be able to dance and schedule themselves and live disciplined lives. That would be beautiful. If everybody could cultivate their masculine and feminine and come to that place of fullness in both. But you tell me, when you're with your lover, or potential lover, or future lover, or present lover, or past lovers, do you want them to go, hey, what do you want to do? I mean, I'm open to anything. Or do you want them to come to you with total desire in their eyes and take you into their heart? Maybe run their fingers up your neck till they're grabbing your hair, swing you down, feeling your heart. Just tell you, I love you. You're mine. Now, a second stage woman doesn't want to be taken like that. She wants to be her own woman, and so keeps a man like that away and attracts second stage men who would never do that, and so she gets to maintain her strong sense of self and boundaries. But in the third stage, that sense of self and boundaries is kind of just a tickle of illusion anyways, and it's rather delicious to ravish God open, you know, God's ravishing God open through two bodies with no boundaries. It's rather a delicious way to sacrifice oneself to infinity. Yep. You don't have to choose it that way, though. You could be celibate in the third stage. You could have polygamous relationships that includes dogs and porcupines, and men and women, heterosexual, homosexual. I mean, every individual would find their way of offering their deepest love through this world sexually. But second stage people guard their heart, and they specifically suppress their masculine and feminine expressions of their deep conscious sense of purpose, their masculine, and their desire in their body to be seen and felt as light, to be entered as a body of love, like the ocean being entered, to be seen as light, to be noticed, for a man to look into your eyes, look into your heart, and actually feel places in your heart, not only that you're not showing him, but that perhaps you even kept guarded from yourself. Because if you've been hurt a lot in relationship or by your parents, inadvertently even, sometimes severely, but sometimes even just mildly, we close our hearts to ourselves because there's so much pain if we really allowed ourselves to feel. And to be with the third stage man would be agreeing that he and you are both going to open as the divine to the extent that you're willing, and you're inviting him to open those parts of you you'd be terrified to open with or without him. Mm-hmm. And so to be with the third stage man would be to be with a man who would never stop opening those. I mean, there may be moments where he stops, a little healing, a little rest. But in general, it's a kind of persistent more. And a third stage woman wants nothing less. And a third stage woman would be chopping the head off of any man who is less than that. And a second stage woman would just go, "Oh, okay, I'll have some ice cream and get back to work." So what was your question now?
As man's going into the third stage
and discovering his deepest purpose and living from that place of full consciousness and offering his gift,
to not be that first stage asshole, but to open up fully to love.
That's the third stage.
Okay, so maybe my question is, what percentage do you see this taking place?
I knew there was a question back there somewhere. See, sometimes you have to persist, man. There are very, very, very few men and women who are willing to offer their life that fully as love, who are willing to live as love that persistently. Now, again, to attract a man like that, you always attract your reciprocal, so that means being a third stage woman. So to attract a man who lives that depth of love with you, not being an asshole, but being a ravisher, someone who loves you, whose intent is to serve your heart open. See, in the first stage, all he feels is himself. In the second stage, he feels both of you and is very safe about boundaries. In the third stage, there's no boundaries at all. He's living as you. He just lives your life, like it or not, bitch. I'm you. I'm taking you. I'm loving you. I'm going to love you open to God whether you want to or not. Now, you could run and be with some second stage guy who'll go, "Okay, just say stop and I'll stop." Or some first stage guy who goes, "I don't care what you want. I just do what I want." But you could be with a third stage guy who's taking you where you want to go, which is farther than you could take yourself, or you wouldn't need a guy. So, and it's the same thing is true for him. If he could open himself fully without you reflect, you tell me the truth. You just be honest with me. Don't most men who you know who think they're spiritually open, aren't they full of shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that third stage reflection from the outside, like I was telling this man earlier, like we could vote as a group and so forth. Lots of men and women feel like they're wide open or very close to being open or blah, 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 blah. But all you have to do would be like to ask their intimate partner, or you don't even have to ask your intimate partner. We could just stand them up here and take a vote. Everyone can feel when someone's full of crap. And so you can, your third stage gift to a man is to offer him such a depth of yearning from your heart, a depth to receive him. I am yearning to receive the divine through you. I will accept nothing less. Both of those. I'm yearning to receive your deepest gift. Take me, and I'll chop your fucking head off if you give me less. Both of those. Because any bimbo could say, "Take me." And any nag could go, "Chop your head off." It's the heartful combination of those. I will give myself to you entirely. I will give myself to your divine entirely. I am yours. But don't come to me with anything less than that. Or I will show you. I will breathe fire. I will chop heads. I will disembowel. I will drive your car into the garage wall. I will emotionally torture you in ways you could never predict. Yes? And so, how many third stage men and women are there? Very, very, very few. But it is the next step in our cultural evolution, and that's why I want to address it so fully. There are very few who even know that that's a possibility. Most people feel there's only those two possibilities, kind of codependence or dependence relationships or being independent. I'd like a man, but I don't need a man. That's a second stage woman. A third stage woman would be, well, I don't need a man, and I do like a man. But I'd love God to just take me open in the form of a man right now. And to live that yearning wide open, not needing us. She could take care of herself fine. We're talking about beyond the first and second stage, not a reduction. She could take care of herself fine. It's just This is all God. Why does she think that only this body has to take care of itself? That body and this body are the same body, the same divine body. Why not? I don't know. Some people might want to just have one body take care of itself as their divine expression of love. But as your divine expression of love, you tell me, would you enjoy what? And what kind of body would you enjoy? You know, there's a divine body. Here's another divine body. What shape would that be? And how would it touch you? How would it look at you? How would it speak with you? How would it breathe with you? How would it see you? You know, that's up to each individual. But from the third stage, you're willing to go all the way in that. You're willing to show your yearning in that. You're yearning to give all of your gifts sexually, in consciousness, spiritually, with your children, in business, in every possible way. If you're not living that way, you won't attract third stage women. They won't notice you. So for instance, and at any time in these talks, if I'm saying something that you really don't want to hear, it's just, there is like enough. You could just say, thank you, enough, or don't go there, or just this would probably suffice. But, you know, you're sitting there, you know, just nothing unusual about the way you're sitting there, but you're kind of sitting there like this, asking a question. And that bodily closure will be make you unnoticeable to a third stage man. A third stage, you don't need to like, but although you could, but a third stage man wants to feel, you know what it's like when you're painting. Have you ever painted your nails? Do you know different colors on different days could make the difference between, you know, a great day and a lousy day, right? Well, what that is you're, from a third stage perspective, you're adorning the divine body as light, which it is, and certain ways of adorning the divine body as light allows that radiance to express itself more fully. So in the morning when you look in the mirror and you get dressed, certain earrings, certain colors on your fingers, and so you have the inherent feeling of what it is to be light. It's just in the second stage we act like we're just, you know, professional blah, blah, blahs. You know, I'm a lawyer. You know, I'm rarely, you know, you go to a woman and say, what do you, you know, I'm light. You know? But so if you are sitting in a way, and I mean this quite literally, that your body, you felt your body as light, as love, it's kind of like you're wearing earrings. So there's something about your ears, you know, are showing a little light, you know? So feel your ears as an offering, a divine offering. Your toes as a divine offering. Your fingers as a divine offering. I don't know what kind of underwear you're wearing, but I'll bet that you have a divine offering under there also. And so feel your whole body as a divine offering, which it is, except you might want to hide it. But in this moment, if you wanted to attract a third stage man, you don't have to do anything outrageous. Simply feel your body, your entire body, your toes, your fingers. I mean, you painted them. Feel them as a divine offering. Feel the actual curvature of your ear as a divine offering, sweep of your hair as a divine offering, and realize that is a gift. And as you're walking down the street or you're here or you're home or whatever, if you're living it as a way that you're alive as that gift of the feminine radiance, as love, and you're giving that as a gift, you will attract the few third stage men that there are like that, because there are very few women who are willing to live in the third stage like that. And so you might only meet such a person once a year, but that once a year, if you're living that open, he will notice you. Now the trouble is, we have habits of closure. And so even if a so-called third stage man walked near you and you're in that habit of closure, he doesn't, that's not where he's at. That's not what he would choose. So it's useful to practices such as I just described, feeling yourself as a divine offering, your entire body, your toes, your fingers, your whole body. Offering that consistently. You could do it very subtly, you know. You don't have to make eye contact. You could just do it sitting in a room.